That's good. That's good. Thank you. Nope, gotta move it a little further. You guys have gotta quit hiding over here on the right. My right, your left. Thank you for your prayers. The Lord is answering your prayers. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks that I had a total knee replacement, and you see I am getting around. The knee is perfectly good. It's the owner that's not doing so hot. So anyway, but you know, one of the things that is very, very important, and a lot of people go to church for the wrong reason. They go to church to please God. And we should go to church to serve God, to be prepared for service. Not necessarily to please Him. He wants us in church, we know that. But that can't be our main reason for going. That makes it sort of routine. And church should never be routine. Church should always be in relation to what's going on in your life. If you're not getting some answers from your church as to what God expects you to do in the situation you find yourself in today, we've got a lot of different situations going on. But it needs to be relevant. You're going to hear that word more and more and more, relevant. We need to make sure that what we do is relevant, that it matters, that it's going to make a difference, not necessarily in our lives, but in eternity. And so I want to approach today a subject. Have you, as a child, I know this happened to some of you, maybe one or two at least. As a child, you're playing or you're doing something that maybe you shouldn't be doing, but you're doing it anyway. And your parent walks in and they ask the question, "What in the world is going on?" Ever happened to anybody? And the question itself is a little bit of a rebuke. Well, you know, we are living in a strange time, a very strange time. Everything seems to be sort of upside down. Black is white, white is black. Truth doesn't matter anymore. Being lied to, expected to accept it. And some of the things about lying to another person or being lied to, I know when I get lied to, it tends to make me angry because that means that the person who's lying to me thinks they're smarter than I am. And that hurts my pride, you know. They may be, but, you know, I don't want them to know that. And so that's a situation that we need to deal with because we are living in a time where truth is very, very rare. Even the press, it used to be consistently true and providing the truth, providing real information about what's going on. They're no longer doing that. Everybody seems to have an agenda. Everybody seems to have their own way of doing things and things they want to do. And so because there's so little place in for the Word of God in our current situation today with our government and our neighbors and the people around us, I want us to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read six verses, well, five verses, and it'll be the last verse that we really want to concentrate on, but I think these five verses are very important for us to understand where we are at socially as well as spiritually. We come here for spiritual input. We don't, if we want social input, we go to Facebook or someplace like that. We don't want that, because that is nothing but a series of errors and misinformation. Romans 1, 21 through 25. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There's a lot of things taking place within our government right now. Green New Deal ignores God's creation, ignores God as having any part to do with anything. And Tim will be preaching tonight, by the way. I wanted that put in a bulletin and didn't get put there. Tim will be doing the preaching tonight. He prepared a message for last Sunday night, and of course we didn't have church, so I want him to share with us what God has laid on his heart tonight. The verse that I'm referring to here in this passage in Romans is verse 25. Those who would not acknowledge God accepted new gods. They accepted new gods in their lives. They accepted new gods in their hearts. And they abandoned the truth, for God is truth. God is not only love, he is truth. He's everything good. And we have to understand, there is no bad in God. Job found out, you know, it looked like it was bad, but God restored to him twice what he had before, because Job was faithful to God. And so there's no bad in God. God's ways are not the ways of the world. The world has a whole different set of judgments, a whole different set of gods. So we have to understand that Jesus Christ created the entire universe. We're sitting in his universe. It's nobody else's. It doesn't belong to the government. It doesn't belong to any individual. And Jesus Christ created the universe. And this old world that they're saying is going to go kaplunk in, I think it was 12 years, 2 years ago, so we got 10 years to go. I got some bad news for them. We've got at least another 1,000 years here, because that's what the Bible says. And the Bible is the truth. And there's going to be a millennial reign. That word millennial means 1,000 years. So Christ is going to reign here for 1,000 years at the end of the tribulation. So we've got at least 1,007 years left here, no matter what anybody says. So we just need, we need to depend, that we need to make sure that we have the right relationship with God. In the meantime, with all the stuff going on, what are we supposed to do? It may change the way we've been doing things. It may change the way we go about our lives. But there are certain things that God expects of us under any circumstances. And so we want to look at that this morning. I mentioned a verse in Sunday school. Christ came and gave his disciples some information. I'm going to share the same verse with you, because that was not just for his disciples, it's for all of us. And in Matthew 10:16, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now, we're to be wiser than our enemies. And we have them. Right now, a good part of the government is our enemy. But that doesn't mean that we are to resist, because God is in control. And we are not to resist God. And we'll get into that a little deeper. So we're to be wiser than the other side. Now, I want to share a thought with you. Maybe you haven't carried this verse through in your mind. I want to share a thought with you, and I'm going to present it in a little bit of a humorous way. But as you think about it, maybe it'll become more serious. The fact that we are referred to as sheep. The Lord says he's sending us forth as sheep into a bunch of wolves. Okay? That puts us in the wolves' food chain. And they like sheep. They expect to devour us. Have us for lunch. What wolves love mutton. Now, I hope that you've had your rabies shots, okay? Since you're going to be associating with some not so good people. This new administration in Washington is going to attempt to remove many things that we have enjoyed all of our lives. We're to be wiser. They're going to move to eliminate freedom of speech by declaring that certain expressions are hate speech. Expressions that refer to many different types of people that the Bible talks about. They're going to move to eliminate freedom of religion so that it will be difficult to present the gospel to someone without committing some kind of a crime. There are already cities that if you give out a gospel tract, that's considered a crime. And people have actually gone to jail. Now, we live in a great state, because right now, the state of South Carolina is on our side. And I hope they'll stay there. I do. And I'm not getting political, folks. It's just a fact. Right now, we are enjoying freedoms that some states don't have. There are churches closed in Virginia, in California, all over this country, different states, because the governor has declared it to be a hazard to gather together to worship God. We don't have to worry about that right now. They're going to eliminate freedom of religion. One of the other things they're going to try and do is take away our happiness. Yeah, they're going to try and take away our happiness. They've been miserable for years up there in Washington, D.C. You know, if you see a smile on somebody's face up there, it's probably artificial. Or it's on their mask. But you know, they can't take away our happiness, because our happiness is coming from the joy in our hearts given us by the Holy Spirit. And so that can't be taken away. They can't get to it. In Matthew 7:24-27, Jesus gave us a philosophy of life. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This was during the Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 25 said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. What is that saying about some folks we know that are in the news all the time? Which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Aren't you glad you're living on the rock? Aren't you glad that's the foundation for your life? The rock. That's where we are. We're upon the rock. And I'm so glad that God put the rock in my life and in your lives. Now, what's being built right now as far as a national philosophy and procedures, we have God's word. It's being built upon the sand. It's not being built upon God's word or the truth of God's word. And when the rain comes, when the storm comes, it's going to collapse. And as I looked at God's weather forecast, there's some storms coming. Storms that are never being anticipated because they're not reading the book. They don't know what it says. When those storms come, their building is going to collapse. But in the meantime, you and I have to be a part of it. We have to take our part of it. I don't think it's going to be very long in coming, but it's going to come. And in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, Jesus told us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus wants to take care of each of us this morning. He wants to have a part in our life. Isn't it interesting that when these verses were when we began to read these verses for the first time, that we had no sense of the application that we might have the chance to make of those verses? From where I'm sitting, things look a little bleak. Probably from where you're sitting, they might look a little bleak. But I would remind you that the one thing that we have with our God, the God of creation, our Heavenly Father, is that we can always have hope because He is in control and in charge. Don't ever forget that. He's in control. He's in charge. He is orchestrating what is happening in order that He might fulfill His purpose. How's the Lord going to come back for His church? If things are not set up, and they're getting set up, oh, they're getting set up. There were times in the Bible where the Lord could not communicate with His chosen people because they were not in the place where they could hear Him. We want to stay in that place. We want to be where God can communicate with us, where He can touch our hearts, where He can tell our hearts, be calm. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're always going to be under my care. And folks, that's where we are this morning. We're under the care of the Lord. And so we do not have to be afraid. Wondering what's going on? Yeah. But we don't have to be afraid. We know. We have hope. God gives us hope. He is the only one that can give hope to anybody. And He is giving it to us through His word, through His presence, He's in our hearts, and through the things that He's doing. even the priests at times in Israel were living out of the will of God. They were not doing the things that he wanted them to do. And so time after time, he brought them back to himself. And he may be doing that with his church today, because the church has wandered. There are churches out there that are no longer preaching the gospel. So he's given us a promise, and I want us to look at that promise. It's a verse that you know and maybe have tried to make application, or at least take it as a means of hope, but it is a verse of promise. And we find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse you know well. Let me start with the verse before it and after it. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Is that getting a little closer to home? We're experiencing it. I've never experienced a pestilence like this. And yet we are experiencing it. He says, if I do that, if my people, which are called by my name, that's us, and shall humble themselves and pray, we're doing that. We're doing that every Monday. We're praying around the clock. We're doing it on Wednesday night. If we'll do that and pray and seek my face, which I believe we are doing, and turn from their wicked ways, well, that's something that if we have things in our life that does not mesh with what God wants, we need to turn from them. Then, here's the promise. I will hear from heaven. That's a promise, folks. It's not, I might, or maybe I will if I'm not busy, or having lunch or supper. That's not what he says. He says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. People, there is healing coming. The patient might be sick right now. The patient might not be able to operate the way it wants to. But God has promised, I will heal their land. I will heal their land. I'll make sure that everything's okay. And that's a promise we have, all of us. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, God has promised you that there is a day coming when he's going to heal our land. It doesn't matter what they're doing or how many executive orders are being signed every week. It doesn't matter. God's in control. God is still taking charge. And he's just working out his plan, his way. Now, we might not agree with it because we don't understand it. We don't know his plan. Or fully know it. And so we need not be fearful. Folks, God's going to use us right where we are, right now, in this time of tribulation in our nation's history. We have to be sure that we keep the lines of communication open. We have to do it on a daily basis. I trust you start your day off talking to the Lord. I trust you end your day at night talking to the Lord, thanking him for the things he's done during the day, thanking him for the provisions that he made. And when you open up the day, when he gives you another day, that's a gift. It's a gift from him. And it's given to you to use, not to hoard, not to put away. It's given to you to use. One of the things with this, I want to call it stupid knee surgery, it's a fact that I am not able to do all the things that I was doing during the day. And it seems like I was wasting time that God gave me. And he's giving every one of you 24 hours. Every one of you, you have it. It's yours. It's a gift from God to use for him, for you, for anybody else. It's a gift. And God gives us that gift day by day. I don't know what's in the future. I'm not a prophet, that kind of a prophet. But I do know one thing. God owns it. We don't have to worry about it. It's under his control. And even if things seem to be happening that are bad things, God does not do bad things. He doesn't. He's not capable of bad things. If I preach some of the things that are in God's Word, if I preach about homosexuality or lesbianism or the perversion of same-sex marriages, then our Supreme Court has said all these things are okay. Well, folks, I don't worship our Supreme Court. I worship God of heaven, our Heavenly Father, and I know you do too. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. The one we worship, the one we account to, he's going to take care of us. Do you ever think that you would see this day when our government would turn against the God who created it? And yet that's where we are. And I realized as I was preparing this message and reading the Bible, I want to share something with you. God gave us his word. Every bit of it. And maybe it doesn't matter to you about the history of Israel. It's not real significant to me. I don't, you know, dwell on it. I don't live by it. It's there for me to know, there for me to read, but there is something else there in that I didn't realize before. I don't know if you've realized it. There was something that God told Israel from the very first day. When Israel came into existence via Abraham, God began to tell them, Abraham, you teach Isaac what I'm telling you. Isaac, you teach Jacob what I'm telling you. You teach Esau what I'm telling you. Israel, when I rescued you out of Egypt with the plagues, parting the Red Sea, you tell your children about that, and you tell them to tell their children about that. And what he was telling us, he was giving us an example of the fact that we need to remember and teach history. All of it. The good, the bad. He puts it in his word. We're to teach the history to our children. And 70 years ago, they quit doing that in the schools. Today it doesn't happen. But you know what we're missing because of that? Consequences. For every event in history, there were consequences, good, bad, indifferent. And we stopped teaching that history So our children today do not understand patriotism. They do not understand loyalty. They don't understand the things that God used in the lives of the men who founded this country. They were hard workers. They did give their lives, their liberty, and their wealth. Many of them lost everything during the Revolutionary War. And they actually lived in poverty for the end of their lives. But they taught that history to their children, and their children taught it to their children, and generation after generation. And then some 70 years ago, it stopped. And that's why I can't say the pledge or see that flag out front without wanting to tear up for what it represents. That flag is not just three different colors. That flag represents shed blood, surrendered lives, courage, bravery, faith. Yeah, it represents faith. That's how this country got built. And that's what's missing. But folks, we have the promise of God. Remember? 2 Colossians 7:14. If my people, and that's us, will humble themselves and pray, God will forgive our sin. He will restore our land. He will restore our nation. And folks, that's the hope that we all can have this morning, is that God is going to restore to us what it appears that we have lost. We haven't lost. It's been displaced for a little while. But God is still on the throne, and it doesn't matter what man does. God has made a promise to his people. If my people, that's who he's talking about. That's you and I. And so we can claim that promise. No matter what happens, what goes on around us, we can claim that promise. Knowing that we know the outcome. We know that for 1,000 years, we're going to reign with Christ upon this earth. Whether it's in a new glorified body or whatever, we know that one day we're going to reign with him. And whatever happens between now and then, God is going to be faithful to his word. It may look right now, and it does, it may look right now that we are walking on the edge of a razor blade. One misstep and we're going to come under the condemnation of the authorities or the society in which we live. And that doesn't matter. That's not that way. God is in control. The admonition that Jesus gave his disciples was, be wise as serpents. Exert wisdom. And here it is. What does James tell us? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give it liberally, without condemnation, without admonition. Go to God. Seek wisdom. We're not in the shape we think we are. Now, there's a lot of people out there who think they're in control. There's a lot of people out there who think that they have taken the place of God. Really? That's what they think. But we don't have to worry about that. They don't. We know the real one. The rest are all counterfeits. And so we don't have to worry about that. We're entering. This is an exciting time, folks. You and I are entering a whole new time of ministry in the Christian faith. There are people out there with no hope, and we have it. We have it. God has given it to us. And God will give it to them. We can share it with them. We can tell them there is hope. And I know it because I've got it. And you know, we've got lots of gospel tracts, and if we run low on gospel tracts, we'll order more. They're still printing those. James tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Anyone who is unstable in all their ways are not trustworthy. And so let's not put our trust in our government. I don't mind. I'll take the $1,400 check that they're promising to send. I may even spend it and enjoy spending it. But let's not put our faith there. Let's put our faith there. Let's not look to Washington. Let's look to God. And so when we meet together here, we are showing the world that He is the one who's in charge. In charge of our life, and that's all that matters. Keep our relationship with Him. Now, I want you to understand one thing. Now, some of you, you know, like Sandra had a birth, he's got a birthday coming up. I think it's tomorrow, isn't it, Sandra? Because we are Christians, because you are a Christian, you have become a dinosaur. Yep. As a Christian, you are a dinosaur. But folks, we're not going to do what the dinosaurs did. We're not going to go extinct, okay? We're going to do differently. We're going to feed on spiritual food. The spiritual food that will give us life and extend our lives so that we can serve our living God. That's the one message we have. God is a living God. That government's a dead government up there. They are. Can you imagine, and just take a minute to do a little imagining. What would happen? What do you think would happen if they met, if our House of Representatives met tomorrow morning and a lightning bolt took out the leader of the House? Do you think there'd be many people gather in the House tomorrow, the day on Tuesday morning, knowing what their relationship is to God and what He's capable of doing? No. And I don't believe God's going to do that, because He wants to let this thing run its course so that He can show Himself strong. We serve a wonderful God, a fantastic God. And God has warned us in His Word. Paul has warned us in His Word when he wrote to Timothy, just a few verses, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also in the last days perilous time shall come. We're here. Look around. We're here. They've come. We're living in them. That puts us in the last days. puts us that much closer to the rapture. It's coming. It's coming. And I won't read all those five verses, but he went on to tell Timothy some other things. We read those verses about what all is going to go on in the last days. But a little further down in that chapter, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verses 12 through 15, he says, "Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We're not experiencing real persecution. Anybody, you know, standing around with handcuffs to take us all to jail after church? No. Because God is protecting. God is taking care. And he said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." Okay, folks, it's going to get worse. Might as well make up your mind. It's going to get worse. But we don't have to worry. Deceiving and being deceived. Yeah, that's what's going on right now. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." It's right here, people. This is it. Get close to this. Get into it. Live it. Believe it. God's going to take care of his own. God's going to bring this all to a conclusion. And we're going to be on the victory side. We're not losers. Not a loser in the room. We're all going to be winners. And God has promised us that. One scripture to think upon as we dismiss this morning, Romans 10, 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And folks, that's what you're going to hear here. That's what you're going to hear in Sunday school. That's what you're going to hear on Wednesday night. Now, I'm looking forward to getting into the book of Joel. We're going to try and finish up Hosea Wednesday night. And then we're ready to go into the book of Joel. This book of Joel is three short little chapters, but man, is it packed. It's dynamite. We've got it, folks. God has given it to us. He wants us to put it in our heart. He wants us to live it. Hide as much in your hearts as you can. I believe the days are coming when we're going to need it. But we don't have to worry. God's in control. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for letting us be born in this land. Thank you for somebody who told us about Jesus in a way that the Holy Spirit convicted us. And Father, we believed, and then you did your work. You made us your child. Thank you, Father. Help us to be faithful to your purpose, your call. And Father, we pray that we will fulfill your will through the leading of your Holy Spirit. And we'll praise you, Father, for what you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Number 46, "This Is My Father's World." Let's all stand together for our closing hymn. Number 46, we'll sing all three stanzas. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry, I was looking at tonight. I apologize. 475. Speaking of tonight, we're gonna it's the fifth Sunday. We're gonna start taking favorites this evening. So if you don't come, then you're gonna miss out. So let me encourage you, come back. All right, Jesus is all the world to me. Let's sing the first, second, and the last stanzas, 475. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest and grain. He's my friend. On that last stanza, Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend. Father, we just thank you again for just the privilege of being able to come and worship and praise your name. Father, thank you for Pastor's message, and I just pray that it sinks into our hearts and leads us to action. Father, help us daily to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and love our neighbors. Help us to know, love, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Give us a good afternoon. Bring us back together this evening so we can continue our day of worship and praise and learning more about you. Until then, we thank you and we love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.